Welcome to Spirit Connection with Doug Addison. Get ready to hear God, encounter the supernatural, and discover your destiny. Doug is a prophetic speaker, author, and coach whose message of love, hope, and having fun reaches people around the world. Connect with him online at dougaddison.com.
Hi, friends, and welcome to another Spirit Connection podcast. This week, I want to talk about how easy it is to find and fulfill your life purpose. I want to share with you how God used just a few Bible verses over 20 years and how I discovered a strategy that's actually very easy and share it with you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for each and every person listening right now. And I know that there's going to be a divine connection. There's going to be a divine encounter with your spirit. As I release this word, Father, I pray that the heavens would open, that there would be greater revelation, there'd be greater understanding as to our purposes. Open up your word right now. Open up your Holy Spirit to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I want to give you a prophetic word. This is a time that God is revealing to you the very reason you were created. The very areas Satan has been attacking you are actually the areas of your strength, even though it doesn't look like it. And as you enter into this new season, you're going to find that you paid a price, but you've kept going. God's going to give you a ticket to the next stop in your destiny. It's only a short climb to this next place of rest and refreshment. So don't give up, because God's going to bring some healing to your wounds that the enemy has inflicted over the last few years, trying to discourage you. Wow, I'll grab hold of that one. You know, God will speak to us, and it's like the things might start happening, and then it seems to dry up and go away. Has this ever happened to you? There is a reason for that. It's because, well, first of all, God will reveal his promises to us in advance. That's the way he works. He wants us to know that he cares about us. He'll give you a little bit. He'll speak to you, and then he'll give you a little taste of it. You'll start experiencing it. And you're thinking most of the time, you know, I've done this in the past. You're thinking like, wow, this is really happening now. And in most cases, we're not ready for it. And it may go away. But this is only trying to get you to pursue it like hidden treasure. This is God trying to show you, hey, I'm going to bring these things in your life. Here they are. Here's what it tastes like. And then it kind of goes away. That's not to punish you or anything like that. That's actually to get you to go after it. Matthew 13:44, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in all his joy, he sold all that he had and bought that field. I tell you, that's what it's like to live a spirit-filled life. That's what it's like. You go after it with everything you have, even though it may not be clear. Now think about that parable. The guy experienced it first. He had this joy of this field. He bought it. And then later on, he had to go back and discover it again. This is something that God did to me over and over throughout my life until I realized one day, this is all by design to help us to grow and mature into our calling. For the longest time, I kind of thought he was being mean and things like that. But I learned that's not God's nature at all. This is real important to know who God is and his nature and how he works. So discovering your destiny doesn't have to be difficult. God's giving us clues all the time. You hear me talk about this a lot, like the buried treasure in the field. Well, here's something. Today's my birthday, March 8th. Yep. You know, I want to share with you some wisdom and insight that I got as I discovered my life calling. And now I help people all over the world. I tell you, because it's my birthday, I want to share with you the gift of revelation that the Lord gave me that has helped me. I wish someone would have told me this stuff years ago. It would have saved all kinds of heartache, all kinds of pain even, from not understanding and going around the circle. So I want to release this to you. You know, when I first came to Jesus for the third time, you ever hear that joke? I created a whole stand-up routine on it. And it's because I've been born again and again. And then finally it took root. Maybe that was that you? Or maybe you were raised in a Christian home. But you know what? Even if you did, you had to come to the place where the God of your parents became the God of you. You know, I had several radical encounters with Jesus over the years, and then, you know, God would speak to me, and then it would seem like it would go away, or I'd have a powerful thing happen, and then it wouldn't be there anymore. And these things were happening over and over to me. Now, I just want to go back in the years. It is my birthday, and I'm turning 58 today, and I'm amazed I'm still alive. I tell you, it's by the grace of God. And back in 1988, when I first came to Jesus for the third time, all right, I came to Jesus when I was about 12 years old in the Jesus People movement back in the 70s in Akron, Ohio. And then again, when I was 19, 7 years later, I had a radical encounter, 7 years. You know, I had fallen away and done all kinds of different things, got on drugs. That's what we did back in the 70s, unfortunately. Don't try this at home. But, you know, I had another radical encounter when I was 19, right at my 19th birthday. Now, these are all my birthday encounters. And when I was 19 years old, March 8th, I had this encounter, and it was a dream. It was a reoccurring nightmare. And maybe you've heard me talk about it, where I forced myself to stay asleep. And then I actually encountered some things that had been, you know, oppressing me. It was really a scary time, but I woke up seeing a blinding white light, giving my life back to Jesus Christ while I was living in a drug house of all places. Hey, you know what? If you want to mess up a drug house, here's the instruction in case you're taking notes. You know, come running up out of the basement yelling, "Hey, I just received Jesus Christ as my personal savior." Yeah, that'll mess a drug house up, you know, because that's what I did. I still lived there for a few months because it was my friends, and I became the house prophet because immediately my prophetic gift would kick on, even though it's always been there. So I ended up going to a couple churches and tried to get connected. But, you know, I needed the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I needed. And bless their hearts, that's what you say when you talk about someone. The churches that I went to back in the 70s and the 80s, I didn't quite understand. They didn't understand me. First of all, I freaked them out, I'm sure. And they didn't understand the power of God at that time. There were other churches, I'm sure. But it wasn't. I ended up falling away another 7 years. Yep, 12 to 19. And then 19 to 26, I had another encounter. I had moved away. And I was living in California now at the Berkeley Institute for Psychics. My friends took me there. I don't recommend this at home, please don't. But the psychics gave me this word, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me there as I was walking out of that psychic office. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You're like the guy who cleaned up his house and drove away the demon, and it went got seven more. And your condition is even worse than before." And, you know, that'll mess your life up, you know. It'll also help you get your life together. But I'm just telling you that I'm radical. These are real. If you want to really reach out to people, you got to be real. And not everyone had encounters like these, I'm sure. But I'm just telling you what happened. You know, over the years, I've learned so much about interacting with people who don't have a religious background or outside the church because I was one. And whether you were or not, this is a time that God wants to use you, no matter what it is, what part of your story, he wants to use you. So here it was, 1988, I came out of the occult and into God's awesome light. This time, here it is, I first came to Jesus for the third time, and my prophetic gift kicked back on. I went to a church. I wasn't going to a psychic's office anymore. No way. I was cleaning up my gift. I was getting help. I was getting healing and everything. And I asked the Lord, "What is my life calling? What is my life purpose?" This is in 1988. I'd just gotten off of drugs. I'd been a meth addict and I'd been in the occult, but I knew the Lord. I just felt guilty most of the time running from him. But finally, 1988, I said, I was in my house worshiping the Lord in my bedroom, and I said, "Lord, what's my destiny?" And I heard a still small voice inside me, Isaiah 61. I didn't even know there was an Isaiah 61, honestly. And so I opened it up in my Bible, and I was stunned when I read these words. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, I don't want to be overly emotional here, but I can almost not read. I have a hard time reading that verse without crying because God spoke to me. I thought, well, how awesome is that? Here is a former meth addict, you know, and here's someone who just came out, they call a backslidden mess, and God speaks and says, I'm calling you to preach the good news. Wow, that's so awesome. I still feel it today, and that's a life verse for me. So guess what? I call my pastor up and go down, and I'm sure it scared him, you know. My church was afraid of me because I had this untamed or untrained prophetic gift that I didn't understand, and I wasn't quite all the way accurate yet. And so I just said, you know, I'm called to preach. And so they said, all right, I'll tell you what, you know, let's work with you. And they started working with me. And I didn't know what to do next. Then I said, Lord, just speak to me. And the Lord, again, he spoke this verse, Matthew 25, 35, 36, and 4. These are the three verses that he spoke. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Wow, that's powerful words. So those were my guiding verses. You know, that right there about being sick and in the hospital, being in prison, no one caring, being hungry. So I began to minister to the homeless and pray for the sick every chance I got. Someone went to the hospital, I showed up. I started tagging along with one of the elders of my church who was a World War II vet. And he'd go and he would preach at the convalescent homes, and I'd play my guitar and he would preach and we'd pray for the sick afterwards. He did home visitations. I'd go over sometimes, you know, I had my regular job, but I just started tagging along with people because I wasn't allowed to do it, you know, in my church, you know, in that capacity. So, but I wanted to learn. This was treasure, hidden treasure, I want to tell you. And so I went and told my church, you know, I because of this verse, you know, that you were in prison and you didn't come to visit me. They said, well, you can go talk to the guy about the jail ministry, you know, the county jail. And I went and talked to him, told my story. And he said, well, I don't think you've been a Christian long enough. And so I said, well, put me on the list of, you know, to be a Christian long enough. Joking, really. And what happened? In a very short time, within a few months, someone contacted me, came up to me at church, and they'd heard that story. And this one woman said, you know, I don't go to the jails, but I do minister at Death Row, San Quentin, because they can't have meetings. They're stuck in their cells all the time, and there's a lot of men up there. Would you want to consider ministering and writing to and maybe possibly visiting? And wow, that opened up. I called back the county jail guys. Take me off the county jail list. I'm going to Death Row. I wasn't being really sarcastic or anything. I'm just saying God opened the door. For 2 years, I just did this one-on-one stuff. Really no program except a lot of prayer, and did things that you wouldn't believe. I began to preach at a homeless ministry at a mission for a few years, and God began to use this as my guiding verses. Then I read another one, James 1:27. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Wow. Well, what happened was my sister's husband died, and he was young. He was in his 30s, and they had 5 children. And so, you know what? There was widows and orphans right there. I ended up moving in with her for a while, and I found out there was a lot of widows and orphans on that street she lived on. You want to know how to get a widows and orphan ministry? Get a toolbox if you have one. And what I would do is on Saturday, I would go around and I'd fix stuff for people. That's it. I tell you, there's so much you could do. There's so many things that you could do. This was my training. Unfortunately, I never got to go to Bible college. I always considered myself so much less than the other ministers because for years I wanted to go to Bible college so badly. But you know what? Can I get real? I had child support. I had to work a full-time job. I couldn't afford it. And I was doing all this cool ministry. I didn't really have time at that, you know, at that point. I just want to say, to this day, I still haven't gone to Bible college. But now, guess what? Some of my books are actually used in Bible colleges. So I want to encourage you. I recommend Bible. Of course, I've studied. Believe me, I've studied. I've done all kinds of different types of things over the years. But don't let this stuff hold you back. I just want to encourage you. I went over 10 years fulfilling so much in my life over three verses or three sets of verses, Isaiah 61, Matthew 25, and James 1. And for so long, I used those, and God used it to open up many things. I want to take a little time here we do this every week on the podcast, is to have someone ask a question. And this is, again, they come from our students of Hearing God 365, our online activation prophetic school that's online, or sometimes it's our partners. But this is from Mary.
Hi, Doug. My name's Mary. My question is, there are so many words that have been given for this season. When will they happen in the natural?
Great question. You know, that takes discernment. And that's one of the things that we do that I train people is to learn to discern. And, you know, what is for now? What is for later? Because all this time during the stories, I'm telling you, I had all these prophetic words from God about big things, but I didn't know what was going to happen. So I began to focus on the things that I could. Habakkuk 2:3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It certainly will come and not delay. I want to give you that prophetic word right now that there are words that God's spoken over you that may linger. But what you can do, like what I was doing, not all of them came about like I thought, but I was preparing myself by doing those small things. Widows and orphans, going and taking care of people, feeding the homeless, ministering to people, visiting people in the hospital or convalescent homes. You can do this stuff. I tell you, it's the best kingdom Bible college you're going to ever go to because you'll get a heart for people. All right, back to my story. Now, that was just 10 years, 1992 to 2001. I was doing outreach and training people, and I was given another three verses. You believe it? I mean, I've gotten more of this. I simplify it. But, you know, the first one was Matthew 4:19. In fact, you'll hear me talk about this a lot, is that Jesus' message is very simple. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So first thing, follow Jesus. Matthew 22:37 and 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, when Jesus said this, it was the most powerful thing that ever impacted me. Gotta love God, gotta love ourselves, and love our neighbors. Then Matthew 28:19 through 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching, this is the part, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So those three verses, number one, let me simplify this. You want to find your destiny? Follow Jesus. Number two, love God and other people and yourself. Number three, teach others to do the same. I use those three verses and begin to train people in outreach and doing different things like that. I just want to say, this is not rocket science, you know. If you want to know what your destiny is, it may take getting in there and finding things and messing around. I had to do that. I would think, you know, like once I got into homeless ministry, I thought that was my destiny. Oh my goodness, this is it. When I got into prison ministry, I thought that was my destiny. Oh my goodness, this is it. Every time. But the Lord would say to me, no, I'm training you. It's not your ultimate destiny, but it will help you. And so that's what God will do. He'll use these things like a connect the dots drawing. All right, let me go to 2001, because this is all around my birthday. Every year at my birthday, something would happen. In 2001, I was diagnosed with an incurable disease called Huntington's disease at age 42. Now, I had already planted churches. I've started a business. I've been now established back in the kingdom since 1988. 91 is when things really came around for me. I had a little rough time, but 91 came. And so now over the next 10 years, I was really just going for it. And then suddenly I hit a wall. Wow. I'm diagnosed with the very disease that's incurable. There's no remission. It doesn't go away. It had killed my mother, my sister, my brother, 5 uncles and aunts. Altogether, over a dozen people in my family have died from this terrible disease in their 60s, honestly. It was so tragic. And so I'm thinking to myself, what happened to these prophetic words? What happened to Isaiah 61? What happened to those things? So I pressed in to get healed. And, you know, I did. I ended up getting healed at a Todd Bentley conference. It took more than just that. That's when he first started. In 2001, I got healed of the symptoms. In 2002, I ended up doing some things. Linda and I kind of rearranged everything after I got healed. And an angel woke me up. And I heard an audible angel for the first time in my room like this. I mean, it was this clear. I've had angelic encounters. This 2002. I heard the angel say, Doug Addison, get up and write. And I got up, and over the next few weeks, I wrote an outline to a book I released, my first book later on. And the 3 verses the angel gave me was Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on. You'll be my witnesses. And Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I knew that this is God. He gave me revelation about that, about, boy, you know, we can be a witness. That's what we need right now, is to be a witness. We need the power, and we can go outside of the just the Christian areas. Then the next verse, Acts 2:17 and 18. This is the day of Pentecost. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. This was it. Boy, this is the launch when God gave me the revelation about using prophecy and dream interpretation for evangelism. I wrote my first book, Prophecy, Dreams, and Evangelism. That was the name of it. And I went out leading outreach teams with this verse here, Acts 26:17 and 18. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's the guy who went out all over the earth and planted churches everywhere. He just went out and did it. But this is Jesus talking to him. Acts 9, his road to Damascus encounter. He was a bad guy, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and he discovered his destiny. And Jesus said to him, later on, Paul tells more about the story. He says, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And that, my friends, is what I did. I went out everywhere. And to this day, I do this. I try to open people's eyes way before I try to turn anybody from darkness to light. That's why I do the daily prophetic. That's why I do the encouraging prophetic words. You have to have your eyes opened. You have to have a revelation of Jesus. That's why when I pray, I ask God to open up things, because without that, you'll get an intellectual conversion. You'll get something that might be in your head. But boy, I tell you, you get it from your head to your heart, everything is going to change. And I tell you, I took this out on the road, and I was one of the 4 runners in the area of prophetic evangelism, using the dreams, using prophetic words. We were renting booths. We were launching outreach teams all over the world. And now, here it is, years later, God's given me another 3 verses. Honestly, I got another 3 verses that were part of my prophetic coaching that I help people with. And I've gotten another 3, you know, and what I'm trying to do here is encourage you. I want to encourage you to not give up. I want to encourage you to press in during the hard times. I want to encourage you that in the middle of when things look like they're not going to work, God will make them work. And in this connect the dots drawing called your life, you need to understand right now that God loves you. He cares about you. He's not upset with you. He's not upset about your maturity level or anything like that. He wants to work with you. He wants to guide you hand in hand with him so that you can step into the very things that you were created to do, the very things that you came on earth, the reason that I came on earth. On March 8, 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to the world to destroy the works of the evil. When I was born on March 8th, that's one of my banners over my life. Isaiah 61, one of the banners over my life, all these verses opening people's eyes and the power of God, prophecy, dreams, and visions. These are all banners that these verses are like my guiding light that I use. I don't mean to sound weird with that, but I'm just saying they're the things that I use. These were my connect the dots. And I know that you can do small things that are going to open this for you. Like when I was going out and preaching at the homeless mission, or I went and helped out at the convalescent home, or I went and began to visit and write letters to people in prison, or I began to fix things for the widows and orphans on my street, or I begin to support ministries and missions. I'm telling you, there's so much you can do, and it is so, so easy. Now, here I am over 25 years later, and I'm helping people, and I want to help you right now. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would open up the heavens over everybody listening. I pray that you would give each person some verses or something out of the Bible. And I want to encourage you right now coming out of prayer mode, I want to encourage you to ask God to speak to you, to give you some verses. You can borrow mine if you want, that's fine, but ask him to speak to you. Now back to praying. God, I pray that you would speak to every person, that you would give them some verse or something that they would know, a direction to go in. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of people around them. I pray that you would quiet the voice of the accuser and the naysayers and the negativity that's around them. Father, I pray that you open up the heavens right now for dreams and visions and supernatural encounters like never before. God, I pray that you would open these things up. And now, this is the thing I want to pray, because it was the question Mary asked, how do you know about these prophetic words that are for now or later? I pray for that, God. Show us what's for now, what's for later. Show us what Satan doesn't want us to see, and allow people to see us as you see us and not as the enemy wants us to be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Well, be sure to check out my website, DougAddison.com. I've got a lot of training resources, articles, and this whole thing about things being easy. Just look through some of my books or whatever. You'll see some things that might help you on there, or maybe possibly consider being part of our online activation school. When you go on, you could use a coupon code podcast10 to get 10% off. Or if you're going to do the Hearing God 365, sorry, that doesn't apply to that, but we've made it so affordable. But go to hearinggod365.com, take the 14-day free trial, the test drive. I just want you to hear and see what it is. Follow me on Facebook, The Doug Addison. Twitter and Instagram, Doug T. Addison. Also, my daily prophetic words, hashtag daily prophetic. Download my free ebook, How to Hear the Voice of God Clearly for Yourself. Also, consider this. You can donate to us now via text. Just text the word L-O-V-E, love, to 45888. Love to 45888. All right. God bless you. Hope you have a great week. See you again.
Thanks for listening to Spirit Connection with Doug Addison. Connect with him online at DougAddison.com.